and we find it here in chapter 20. I begin reading now at verse 1. And David fled from Naioth in Ramah and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity? And what is my sin before thy father that he seeketh my life?" David says, "What have I done?" He had actually helped Saul. But you see, this man, he was never a king. God knew he wasn't. He wasn't God's choice. But it was the same thing that you have in the time of Moses, that he granted their requests, but he sent leanness to their souls. He fattened them up with quail. They wanted meat. He gave it to them. But you see, they weren't trusting God. And that is the thing that is evident in that. And if they had only trusted the Lord and not have cried out and had been satisfied with manna, they would have found that their hearts would have been satisfied. There had been joy and peace in their lives. Oh, how many Christians today are way out yonder, head of the Lord, begging him for this and that and the other thing, and not willing to rest quietly and let God work out things in our lives. And it's true of many of us today that he grants our requests. And somebody says, "Well, isn't that wonderful when he answers prayer?" Not always. Sometimes we keep begging him for something, and he gives it to us, and it's the worst thing that we could have. A very wealthy man in the state of Florida told me about his son. He's lost him. And he said, "You know, the biggest mistake that I ever made was to give him everything that he wanted." Yes, God sometimes, when you and I just keep after him. But what happens? He sent leanness to their souls. And now we find that is true of the children of Israel. They should not have had Saul as king. He certainly is causing a problem. And David is puzzled. Why in the world are things happening to him like this? And verse 2, "And he said unto him, God forbid, thou shalt not die." Now this is Jonathan, his friend. "Behold, my father will do nothing, either great or small, that he will show it to me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." In other words, Jonathan says, if he makes a move to slay you, or whatever move he does make in order to slay you, I'll know about it. Now he said to him, "I want you to trust me, and I will communicate with him." And David sware moreover, and said, "Thy father certainly knoweth that I found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death." What a statement that is. And friends, that's not only true of David in that day, that's true of you and me today. And that doesn't mean those of us that drive the freeways of Southern California and the highways of this country today. The fact of the matter is that it doesn't make any difference who you are, where you are. You and I are in just a step of death. There is but a step between me and death. And Isaiah put it like this, that there's just a heartbeat between you and death, between you and me and death, I should say, because it could come to us any time. And that's the reason we ought to be ready to move out into eternity, into the presence of God, by the way. How many folk today have made every arrangement for this life, but have you made arrangement for the next life? If you should die at this moment, would you go into the presence of God, a saved individual, trusting Christ as your Savior? Well, may I say to you, you ought not to put it off any longer.